or our call to worship. In fact, I should mention, most of the hymns are going to be coming from the hymnal of worship book, the blue book. Please turn to 530, What Wondrous Love Is This? We'll do the first verse in unison, and then we can break into harmony.
What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this?
Where? from the table, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." As Jesus washed the disciples' feet that evening, we too are invited to come to the front if you would like to participate in foot washing, to join up in pairs to wash each other's feet as Mike likes.
Beneath the cross of Jesus is where I'll take my stand. In the shadow of that mighty rock, within this weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon my way from the burning of the noonday heat and the burden yet another day. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eyes at times can see the very dying form of the one who suffered there for me. And from my stricken heart with tears, to wonders I confess, the wonders of His redeeming love and my unworthiness. I take, O cross, thy shadow. For my abiding place, I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all across. Cross of Jesus, that's where I'll take my stand, in the shadow of that mighty rock within this weary land. A home within the wilderness, a rest upon my way, from the burning of the noonday sun, and the burden yet another day. Yeah, the burden of another day.
On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, one after another, 'Surely not I, Lord.' He answered, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born.' Judas, who betrayed him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' He replied, 'You have said so.' While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." As we prepare to share in the eating of the bread and drinking of the juice together, as we prepare to remember and to reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus made, may we do so with contrite hearts as we pause for a prayer of confession and gratitude. I invite us to pray. Our God, as we reflect back on that Passover meal, that Last Supper around the table, as we consider the disciples gathered around Jesus, as we consider that Jesus already knew who it was who would betray him, that Jesus knew how his disciples would fall away at that most significant and poignant hour, we are reminded of the times in which we fall short, in which we pull away, in which we fail to express the love that you have shared with us with one another. For sins of omission, we ask forgiveness. For our sins of commission, we ask that you forgive us as well as we pause to reflect on these things. Our God, we offer our gratitude and thanks for the spirit of forgiveness which you shared with those disciples around the table, in which you continue to share with your people, people throughout this world, this forgiveness that continues on and on and on again, and you invite us to do so with one another, so that we may eat and that we may drink, recognizing that we have been forgiven and that we too have forgiven those who have harmed us. So as we eat this bread and drink this juice, may we be reminded of not only the symbolic meaning, but the mystery of this meal, how it can transform our hearts, how it allows us to see each other through the lenses of your love. May we feel and express that this evening as we gather, as we share together, in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. As Rogers introduces the hymn, I'll invite Gloria forward to assist with the sharing. We will distribute the bread and invite you to hold it until all have received the bread, and then we'll eat it together, and likewise with the juice.
So turn to 471 in the blue book. Eat this bread.
Mm-hmm.
Invite us to pray. Our God, as we have partaken of the bread and the juice, we have done so as a sign of commitment to a particular way of life, to a particular way of being, as one who walks with you, who walks alongside and absorbs your teachings, and even more so your love. We give you our gratitude, our thanks, for all that you are, for all that you do, for the ways in which we can entrust all things to your love, your care, to your spirit. Bless us, we ask, as we continue on this evening in this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Carl will lead us in our first reading, and I will invite the scripture readers this evening to read from down below here, from this microphone.
The scripture is from Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there to pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." Going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Man of sorrows,
Mary shameless, scoffing rude, Jesus' betrayal. And while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came with a great multitude carrying swords and clubs. They had been sent by the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately, Judas went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus?" In that hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple. You did not seize me then. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him, and they fled.
Number 241, 'Tis Midnight and on Hollis Brown.
"'Tis midnight and on Olive Brow, the star is dim and faintly shown. 'Tis midnight in the garden now, the suffering Savior prays alone.
Jesus before the high priest. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death." Then they spat in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who is it that struck you?"
Stay with me, remain here with me. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Stay.
Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, because your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is it to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went away and hanged himself.
Sing the story, the plum book, number 81, "When We Are Tempted."
When we are tempted to deny your Son, because we fear.
Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." Then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified.
The first three verses.
Oh, sacred head, thou wounded, with grief and shame break down, thou scornfully surrounded, with arms thine only crown. Oh, sacred head.
Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of the mighty rock within a weary land. Within the wilderness, a
Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of these standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified. And they exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God."
When I survey the wondrous cross.
When I survey the